John chapter 6, beginning at verse 65. Last week, the Spirit of the Lord took over and blessed us and touched us in many ways, and I'm thankful for that. And I want you to know also it's the Word of God that's going to get you out of this world. And you can shout all you want to, but it's God's Word that's going to get you out of here. I thank God for those times of refreshing, but I thank God for the Word. Amen. So at John chapter 6, beginning at verse 65, and he said, "Therefore," Jesus speaking, "therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil?" And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Heavenly Father, let your word go forth and find a lodging place. Let our hearts be ready to receive what our ears hear. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So I would like to title the message today, Walking Away. Walking Away. These folks, like so many today that Jesus was talking to, really didn't believe. That Simon Peter and the 11, they believed, but they had some issues too, or they wouldn't have left him when he was taken away as he was arrested to be crucified. They really didn't believe. They really didn't trust or have faith or a real, here's the key, they didn't have that real connection to Jesus Christ. It was an inadequacy they hoped would keep them receiving the fringe benefits. They was desired to be around Jesus Christ because they just desired the fringe benefits. When you really think about it, it's really sad that Jesus was totally committed to his Father's will, and he made it very plainly that he had come to do the work of his Father. Fully committed to save, to heal, to deliver, and to set free. His interest was to touch lives and build relationships. Yet though there are those who just simply walked away. His desire was to touch lives and to build relationships. Not like a business type relationship, but a relationship that was close and intimate, where you can crawl upon his lap and feel his heartbeat and understand the love that Jesus Christ gives. So and yet very apparent, even though he fed them, even though he healed them, even though he saved them and set them free, there was some that still just walked away. Just as Jesus had different ones to leave him and walk away. It's kind of that way in the church world, in our time that we're living in. Jesus Christ paid the supreme sacrifice with his life for whosoever will. Jesus was willing to pay that price, to give his life with no promise or guarantee that he would have any takers. Some just walked away. Not sure what some of them was looking for, even though Jesus gives us a hint. But it wasn't a true relationship, or things would have been different in their life. And I believe in our world today is not no different than it was then. If there was a true relationship with Jesus Christ, we wouldn't let so many things bug us. If we really had a true relationship with Jesus Christ, we wouldn't let everything else bug us. Most of the time, you can see the depth of a person's commitment because it's hinged on the price of the sacrifice. Can I say that again? Now you have to understand that this is not necessarily a message to where I have a bottle. This is meat. Okay, this is meat. And I pray today that you'll understand the concept of what is being said and what God laid upon my heart. But most of the time, the depth of our commitment hinges upon the price of the sacrifice. If it costs us too much, we're not going to go there. John chapter 1, beginning at verse number 11, it says that he came to his own, which was the Jews, and his own received him not. Listen. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Hello. Even to them that believe on his name, what a privilege to become a son of God. That when the blood of Jesus Christ is applied, royal blood begins to flow through our veins. That we are no longer tossed to and fro, but that we are a child of the King. We have inherited the kingdom of God. It's more than just fringe benefits. It's a relationship that goes far beyond the flesh. It goes into the heart that we might have that communion with Jesus Christ. That song that they sung just before the last one, Communion. I looked over at Brother Aaron and I said, Chris didn't know anything about this, but this fits my message perfectly. Having that communion with God. Sometimes we fail. We really don't understand the relationship that Christ wants us to have. We have that relationship that is just a surface type relationship. But Christ wants to go deeper than that. And I want to explain that a little bit more as we go along. Christ wants to have a relationship with you to where you not only call him Heavenly Father, I come to you right now, but Daddy, I need you at this very moment. Daddy, I need you. It's a relationship that's not surface. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many that received him, to them gave he power to become sons and daughters. Okay, sons and daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, or the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, his name is Jesus, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is truth, and he is grace. If it was not for the grace of God, there's not one of us would be here right now. Oh, thank God for his grace and his mercy. He came to his own people, and they did not accept him or even his ministry, many of them. The obvious thing, and I'm going to repeat this probably 100 times through this message, but the obvious thing that Jesus wanted was a relationship with them, and all they wanted was the free stuff. They just wanted the free stuff. The bread, the fish. They would have been happy, 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 happy with a gift certificate from Sonic or McDonald's. They would have been tickled to death to get a Rib Crib gift certificate. Or maybe a meatloaf dinner if the preacher would quit rattling on. He wanted a relationship. Just prior to this, many witnesses witnessed him walking on water. Many of those that was around him, they witnessed, I want you to listen closely, they just witnessed him walking on the water. They just witnessed him transporting a boat with several men in it from the middle of the sea to the shoreline where they had just taken off. Automatically, quickly, just like he went into the building where the disciples was after his resurrection. The doors was locked, the windows was locked, and he walked into the room where they were and ate fish and honeycomb. Just that way, he transported a boat with several men in it from the middle of the sea to the shoreline where it had taken off. Can I tell you today, and I think I mentioned it last week, Scotty just thought he had a patent on the transport machine. Jesus had that covered a long time before Scotty did. They just witnessed all of that. Oh, hear me today, church. Hear me today. I want you to know as pastor, I love you, and I want to put my arms around you and tell you how much Jesus loves you. But as much as I want to, there's 100,000 times more that Jesus wants to put his arms around you and show you he loves you. Did you get the difference? I want to tell you, but Jesus wants to show you. Feeding of the multitude. They had just seen with 5 little loaves for a little boy and 2 fish. He fed that multitude. While Jesus was trying to explain to them, listen to me. Remember the song that they sung just a few minutes ago? While Jesus was trying to explain to them about him being the bread and the wine, they struggled to get the picture. I wonder today when we're singing the songs and we're worshiping and we're praising God, I wonder how many of us are struggling to really get the picture. You see, all we're interested in is just those little doodads that come by in that particular time. But I'm here to tell you today, Jesus is not here just for your instant gratification. He's here to walk with you every day. On Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, and Saturday. He's here to walk with you every step of the way of your life. Not just Sunday. We struggle to get the picture. When he said to them, come, will you come to me? And if you come to me and you eat me, the bread, you will never hunger. If you drink from me, you will never thirst. If you believe in me, the truth, for he is the truth and the life. Amen? You will never thirst again. And the point was that they were thinking within the means of the flesh, and Jesus was speaking in the realm of the Spirit. When he comes by here today, as he touches your heart and your life, it's hard for us to comprehend anything but the flesh. Lord, just make me feel better. Hello? Come on. Come on, stop, think about it. We are just interested in him making us feel better, whether it's our body, whether it's our spirit, whether it's our emotions. Lord, just make me feel better right now. But what Jesus was really saying, if you will eat my word, if you will drink of my spirit, you'll never thirst again. You'll never hunger again. It's not just about how you feel, but it's what the Word of God says. He wants to take you to a deeper depth and a higher height. He wants to touch your life. He wants to make you totally new. But the problem is we're dealing with stuff because we don't understand the spiritual realm that Jesus was talking about. In their situation that Jesus was talking, them that was around him, them that walked away, in their situation, they could not grasp him being from the Father, number one, because concerning the law of Moses and concerning the high priest, anyone that had that said that they was from God or they was God, the Jews had an extreme problem with that. So understand that. And they were struggling with that issue. Hear me. And the concept of eating his flesh was more than they could comprehend. They were struggling with the reality of Jesus offering them more than what they could see. Hear me. They were struggling. Somebody say, man, they were struggling. They were struggling with the reality of Jesus offering them more than what they could see. So I ask you today, can I ask you a question? What part of Jesus are you struggling with? What part are you not getting? Come on, hear me. I want to come right down where you're living. They could not get over. They could not comprehend. And they were struggling with the reality of what Jesus was offering them. So I ask you, what are you struggling with? What part are you not getting? Brother Chris has told us several times in Wednesday evenings, and if you need to readjust your schedule to come Wednesday evenings, man, we are having some awesome classes. Back here in ER, our kids, our teens, we're having some awesome classes. Listen. As the more you see the day approaching, we need each other. You may not need me, but I need you. Hello? Brother Chris Chris has told us several times on Wednesday evenings. Are you listening? If there's any part of the scriptures that I don't agree with, I have to recognize that I'm wrong. Yes. Therefore, I must face my issues. Yes. And I must get myself to the Word, capital W-O-R-D. I told you this was a meet. Jesus told them in verse 26, you've seen them, and this is what Jesus observed. Okay? You've seen the miracles and what I've done. You weren't impressed. You were just looking for me to give you food that I might satisfy your stomachs. That's a paraphrase from the MW edition. Y'all know what that is? Okay. But that's exactly what he was saying. I'm looking at the spiritual, but you're trying to perceive the flesh. Jesus was really saying, you're looking for a temporary fix, but I'm offering you eternal life.
Amen.
Oh. Did you get the difference? Listen, would you rather have a temporary fix, or would you rather have eternal life? I would a lot rather buy a car that had an indefinite warranty on it and spend a little more than I would to buy a car and give a whole lot less that had duct tape around the radiator hose. And when we try to satisfy the flesh, we are literally putting duct tape on the radiator hose, because it ain't going to last. But Jesus said, I come to give you an indefinite warranty.
Yes. Come on.
Hey, I'm preaching to somebody here. I come to give you a indefinite warranty that you can have eternal life. Does anybody get the definition of eternal?
Yes.
I come to give you eternal life.
Come on. Hallelujah.
My. I wonder sometimes, as people come and go here at Trinity, I don't like it no more than you do, but I've wondered sometimes, what exactly are they looking for? And sometimes you and I take it personally when people come and go. And most of you think that the preacher should have fixed it anyway. You don't have a clue how we analyze things in our ministry, wondering what we've done or didn't do. But understand today, it's my job to preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season, preach with conviction, preach with rebuke and exhortation. But it's your job to make up your mind whether you're going to stay or leave. You see, whether we realize it or not, that's a beautiful thing that God has given us, and that's a free will. And I highlighted this, and I want to emphasize this. But let me start over again. The beautiful thing is that God has given us a free will. Just make sure you choose wisely. When I was preparing this message, and I wrote that phrase, I wasn't thinking about Harrison Ford or anybody else. But most of you have probably seen the Holy Grail, Harrison Ford. How many has not seen it? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Well, can I just stop a minute and use this as an analogy? That to find the Holy Grail, they had to have the faith to cross this gulf, and they went in where this old man was that kept all the grails, and one held eternal life and the rest of them didn't. But they had to choose the cup and dip it into the water that was in the middle and drank of that cup. And the old man looked at him and said, but choose wisely. Choose wisely. So I tell you today, church, that Jesus Christ is offering you the cup of eternal life. You can eat at His table and never hunger again. You can drink from His cup and never thirst again. You can pull up to His table and you can choose to sit at His table or walk away. Whatever you do, choose wisely, because you may not get another chance. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. But whatever you do, choose wisely. As people, as you well know, people can be so fickle. How many knows what fickle means? I didn't say pickle, I said fickle. Okay? It means that we can change our mind more fast than the wind changes. We're sure what God told us today, we're to go to church, until He tells us something tomorrow. And after all these years, like it or not, some people just come so they can go. Hey, can I tell you, it's time to make a decision. It's time to make a decision. It's time that we get on board or just walk away. We stand at the crossroads. We stand on the shore where we either got to get in the ship or we're going to walk away. We struggle with issues that keep us from having that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, we struggle with issues that keep us from having a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then we wonder why things don't get better. Can I tell you today, we need to fall in love with Jesus and let God be God in our lives. I said we need to fall in love with Jesus. It's time that we get on board and let God use us for the furtherance of the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine what kind of church we would have here if we would quit haggling over issues that we can't figure out and just fall in love with Jesus and let Jesus handle those things that rub us the wrong way? Maybe some of you can remember when you first got saved and there ain't nothing in this world that bothered you. You had fallen in love with Jesus and you was in love with Him, and there was nothing that offended you. But over again today, church, we need to fall in love with Him. What a privilege it is to be God's child. Listen, I want to tell you something right now. Just to clear some folks' mind, I am concerned. I'm very concerned about every soul that walks through those doors. But I can't make anyone follow Jesus. They must make the decision on their own. I could arrest them, lock them up in jail, give them fish and honeycomb and McDonald's and Sonic and meatloaf dinner. But I can't make you follow Jesus. I can't even make you fall in love with Jesus. Even though I try so hard. It's my goal. It's my mission as I preach these words, that you fall so in love with Jesus that you just can't help yourself. You are in love. You're in love. I am concerned about every soul, but I can't make them follow Jesus. We must make that decision on our own. Just as Jesus spoke to those around Him to understand, He desired a personal relationship with them. Not for those to be impressed by the loaves and the fishes, because of those who want the treats, they refuse the union. If you just want the treats, you refuse the union. And Christ wants that union. I can't worry, church. Listen, today in the hour that we're living in, more and more, though I'm concerned about souls, I cannot worry about the crowd. People say, well, where's everybody at? I can't worry about the crowd because I'm looking for my cloud. Hey, you get that in a minute. I said, I can't worry about the crowd. Because I'm looking for my cloud. Any day now. Any day. You may not believe it. Then you're going to be caught unaware. Any day now that trumpet's going to sound. Any day that sky is going to split. Goodman's used to sing the song, "This Could Be the Cloud." He's coming back on, Brother Rodney. I'm looking for him. Brother Rodney, I'm looking for him. This may be the cloud. I'm going back with him. I'm not worried about the crowd. I've got to be faithful to those that are here and preach the Word of God to you. But I'm looking for my cloud. I'm telling you, church, we're getting close. The next cloud you see in the sky could be the one he's coming back on, the one I'm riding home on. Listen, I love this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verses 1. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Let me expound on that just a moment. We are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. I believe with all of my heart there are saints of God, mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas, that went ahead of us, that God's allowing them to look over the portals of glory to cheer you on to victory. Yes. Hello? Listen, if the Lord God that I serve and His Son Jesus Christ died for us, don't you think He cares enough about you that your loved ones have gone on and looking over the portals of glory, encouraging on, "You can make it, you can make it, you can make it, you can make it." I've told you this before, but there was a dear old saint of God. His name was Harold Cobb, and I got so close to that man. He was an evangelist, a preacher of the Word. He read the Bible back to front, and he could quote scriptures better than I could read it, play a harmonica, and the Spirit of God touched him and hit him. But unexpectedly, shortly after he preached the revival for us when we was on Tulsa Street, the Lord took him home, sitting on the front porch of his mom and daddy's house. But I want you to know, days and years and months went by, and I still think about him, Brother Aaron. I believe that he's standing on the portals of glory. I believe he's looking over and saying, "Pastor Mike, you can make it. I'm praying for you." He said, "This word says there's a great cloud of witnesses, church. They desire for you to make it. Shrug all the things of this world. Put on the garment of praise. And let's let God be God in our lives." My. Hallelujah. So great a cloud of witnesses. Now, this is in the New Testament, and in Hebrews, Paul was talking to the church here, and Jesus was trying to tell them the same thing in John. He's trying to tell them, "You're wanting the temporary things, I'm offering you the eternal things." And Paul said here, "Lay aside every weight, the sin that so easily beset you, that you might run with patience the race that is set before you." Is that not what I just told you a while ago? We got to quit worrying about the insignificant things. And regardless of how significant they are, let God take those things. Let Him fix them. Let Him take care of them. And you just let God work on your life, and you be all that God wants you to be. "Looking unto Jesus, for He is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Some just come to go. There's an old song that we used to sing. Some of you probably never heard of it. In fact, there's only probably 5 or 6 in this building that's old enough to even remember it. And I'm glad I'm one of those. "In 2 weeks I hit the elite. I have arrived." Hello. I know most of you will be jealous. There's an old song that I remember. Time's gone past. And this song is a reference to the countless examples of those who struggled in the Word of God, Old and New Testament, who struggled before us and made up their minds they wasn't going to walk away. They made up their minds. They was not going to walk away. Can I just share some of the words? It's plumb early, and you don't got to go nowhere for dinner. It's being ready back there, so nobody's in any hurry, are they? I didn't see a hand anywhere. The title of this song is "I Came Here to Stay." How many remembers it? Yeah, there's about 7 or 8 of us elite. "Now the champion marched for 40 days, saying, 'Give me a man to fight.' The Israelite said, I've got a great heart, but my feet's full of fright. Then a boy with a sling and a pocket full of rocks, he said to trust and pray. And he said, run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Now the boys wouldn't bow, and the king got mad. He said, turn up the furnace up high, tie them up and throw them in. These Hebrew boys are going to fry. But a little while later, he looked in the furnace and he heard Brother Shadrach say, just pull up a chair, boys, and warm your hands, because I came here to stay. Hello? Ain't that a gooder? Woo! The decree had been signed by the hand of the king. Daniel couldn't talk to his Lord. The hungry lions was pacing him in. Here comes supper, one of them said again. But if you'd been standing anywhere near, you'd hear old brother Daniel say, if you're thinking about me, boys, just forget it, because I came here to stay. Boy, it just gets gooder and grits and greater and gravy. This is God's word. These are men and women that had made up their mind they wasn't going to run. They come to stay. Now, in those days, there was a whole lot of Christians who just wouldn't take their stand. They'd try to straddle the fence and play both sides, if you can. But I thank God for those folks I met who weren't ashamed to say, I'm a fundamental, premillennial, saved, sanctified, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled, Pentecostal believer, and I'm going to stay that way because I didn't come to run away. I come here to stay. Well, the moral of that is, in the course, it goes like this, so run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to try to get up because it didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh where no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Can I tell you today, church, just as sure as I'm standing here, just as sure in 2 weeks I turn 65, if the Lord don't come and get me first. Night is coming upon us quickly, and we're still trying to straddle the fence. But I'm here to tell you today, it's past time we stop appeasing and satisfying the flesh. You better get a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's imperative. Jesus was very explicit to them when he said in John chapter 6, verse 49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Speaking of himself. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. And he did on the cross. Which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews thereof strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh the blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last days. That's accepting him totally and completely. Reading his word, believing in him, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live with the Father, so he that eateth me shall, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which come down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. His name is Jesus. He taught these things in the synagogue at Capernaum. No matter what the rest of society thinks or believes, church, we cannot leave nor want run away. Listen, we are too close to home, and our journey is almost over. Don't walk away now. We're too close to home. Chris, would you all come back? that communion song, if you don't care. In our society, in our world today, only about half of Americans believe that the Word of God is the key to having a meaningful life. No wonder our world's in the shape it's in. Only about half of America believes that the Bible is inerrant and without error. No wonder we're in the shape we're in. I'm here to tell you, this Bible was written by men inspired of the Holy Ghost. It is the unadulterated Word of God. The inspired Word of God. And how sad it is that in this pandemic and this world that we're living in, only about 1 in 3 practicing Christians have returned to the pew of the church. We are living in perilous times, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus has not changed. You can run if you want to. You can run if you will. But I came here to stay. You can follow Him for the fringe benefits, but I choose to give Him my life. I choose to have a relationship with Him. If there's no gift cards on the table, if there's no fish in the frying pan, Brother Aaron, I choose to serve God. Would you stand with me all over the building today?